Here's McNabb stepping in for the Knights. He scores! Walked right out in front, and Braden McNabb, you read his lips, he just said wow himself.
Eakin on the right side wall, coming up to the slot. Lots of room, Eakin shoots and scores! Second goal of the game for Cody Eakin. Right circle, Schmidt threw it across the net, mouth in front, stop, another try, score! Tatar! Reeves in the right side to the right circle, centering feed, the shot, they score! Belmar fires from between the circles. Marchessault peels off on the right wing near side. To the slot, he shoots, he scores! Marchessault! 4-3 Knights! Vegas wins in overtime!
Welcome in, Friday the 13th, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, game day edition. Once again, game two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. 1-0 so far, so everything off to a good start. Frank Harnish along here with Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman, all getting excited and ready for another unbelievable atmosphere at T-Mobile tonight, Clayton.
It's going to be fantastic. Great atmosphere at practice already. Standing room only out at City National Arena. It's going to be the same way out on Toshiba Plaza and inside T-Mobile Arena this evening.
A great atmosphere today, but a little secretive there is. Yeah. I get there a little bit early. Got there like at 10 o'clock this morning. It's 10:30 skate. A little earlier than normal, but we were going to meet up with Jackie Redmond for an interview, so wanted to make sure we got there and got everything situated for that, which, by the way, you can check out at lvsportsnetwork.com. That interview is up. Thanks to Helen Yee for coming in and helping us do that and recording it for us. But I get there this morning, and everybody's standing out. Nobody's in the arena yet. And they're not letting anybody in. The media is kind of off to the side that's there early. And there's big black curtains all over the glass and everything because they're doing something on the ice that nobody can know. Nobody's allowed up to the restaurant to look through the windows there. Nobody's allowed to go around from the other rink and look through. A local reporter who said, don't bring me into this, so I will not name his name. But he walked to the other side and was basically told, get out of here. So there was rumor that it was Lucas Pisa skating or something, but nobody can confirm, deny, or anything else about it. So what was it going on there with the double secret probation thing happening on the ice?
I don't know. It started in the parking lot with security asking where you were headed. Are you headed to practice? Are you headed to the team store? And then they filed you in the appropriate door, and I had no idea what was going on. I got in and saw the big old line, and who knows?
Yeah, and
who knows
what
it is? Maybe they were rehearsing something special for tonight's pregame show.
Yeah, it could be, but I don't think they would do it at City National. But, Ryan, it was kind of weird because if you did go into the Arsenal to buy some gear, there were two security guards right out there as well, making sure that when you left, you then exited again and did not go in the lobby area to try to peer through the curtain.
That's weird. I picked a good one to sleep in for, huh? Like, obviously, I was in tune with the Golden Knights and the secrets and the black veil of secrecy.
Were you doing something secret with them because you weren't quote unquote there?
That's a very good point you bring up, Clayton. Maybe it has to do with Vadim Shipachev. I don't know.
Where in the world?
Very clearly, it's a shippy thing.
He's back. Right?
See, we were thinking it might be that. I was hoping that somebody last night. Did I not mention that?
That was all the talk in the press pool. Was like, no, oh, wouldn't it be great if Shipachev was back?
It was a joke, great, but yes, we did funny. Say that. Yeah, we actually did say that. But I told Clayton, I said, well, I'm hoping that, you know how like in high school they steal a team's mascot? I was hoping somebody snuck into LA's room last night and grabbed Drew Doughty on since he's not playing tonight, and they were letting Ryan Reeves had a go with him.
Well, I think you're all wrong, because clearly Dylan Ferguson is getting the start tonight, and that's why he was on the ice before everyone else.
I thought maybe that L.A. was going to dress Wayne Gretzky tonight so that they could score a goal.
Have you seen him in like those alumni games? He's the worst hockey player ever. He's so bad now.
Well, someone's got to take the spot. Doughty's not playing, so Wayne now going to be a defenseman as well.
Yeah, exactly. Bring back Rob Blake.
Hey, it could be the first time in his life that Wayne played any defense.
He's not very good. Wow.
Coming out firing. And then I get all the crap when I say Mario Lemieux was a better player than Wayne Gretzky. This is ridiculous.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We're having a little bit of fun. Hey, it's Friday the 13th. There's got to be some kind of craziness. As packed as it was, for the game on Wednesday, and as many people as were in the park and the Toshiba Plaza and everything there, with the weekend coming up, how much crazier is that going to be?
It's going to be so much fun. And yeah, it was hard to navigate through the plaza on a Wednesday night, so I can imagine it's only going to get bigger. And sometimes we see that area clear out pretty quickly after a game, but not on Wednesday, all over the place, up and down Toshiba Plaza, Park Avenue. It was fantastic.
And the greatest thing about it is a lot of people had fresh haircuts and fresh tattoos.
Yeah.
So that was even better. I mean,
and they're doing that again tonight.
So, AF Frank, the neck tattoo is back in play for you.
This is...
No, I can't get a tattoo. I'm a blood donor. Stop with the tattoos.
That's a very admirable thing to do, Frank, but I feel like there needs to be a bet in place. Like, if... I feel like it's almost too easy to say if the Vegas Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup, but, like, what if they went 16-0 in the Stanley Cup? Would you get a tattoo then?
No.
Oh,
It would prevent me from saving other people's lives.
Would you get a henna tattoo, which doesn't have any needles, but like you have to get it reapplied every so often?
I would have to call United Blood Services and see if that would affect me.
I would rather he went to the face painter and they put the mug of chance like right on his cheek.
Yeah, that definitely ain't happening.
What about the secondary logo shaved into your head? What about that?
Probably not.
Oh, come on.
Are you doing it?
I'd do it.
Okay, well, we'll discuss it. If they go 16-0, we'll discuss it. One down, 15 to go.
Wait a minute. If they go 16-0, it's got to be more than that.
It's got to be more than shaving your head. Like, that's ridiculous. No. No. Like, if they win the first round, you have to get a logo shaved into your head.
No, I don't.
Oh, God. No, that's the bet, Frank. If they do... No. Then you do this.
There was a guy that you see around here that made stupid bets. I'm not that guy, okay? I'm not making any bets like that.
He also never paid up on his bets.
No, no. I'm not betting. There's nothing to gain for me. There's just something to lose, and I hope they do win. So I'm going to root for them to win to make me do something I don't want to do. No, I'm not making that bet.
You would be gaining an awesome haircut.
It'd be very popular on the Twitter.
It would be, yeah.
And a cult following.
Very true.
Well, I guess I don't need it that badly. If you guys want to do it, I'm all for you. I'll personally call Helen and see if she'll videotape and throw it up on the site for you.
Thanks, Ryan. Frank's been in such a good mood today.
We can videotape the whole thing while you're getting it done and throw it up on LVSportsNetwork.com.
It's gone.
I didn't even mention the Blackhawks.
Why would you? They're not in the playoffs. And hopefully the Kings won't be there much longer either. All right. Let's do a preview of the game that people want to watch tonight, that they're going to watch tonight, rather at T-Mobile, out in the plaza, or at many of the probably hundreds, if not thousands, of viewing parties around town. Game preview brought to you by Finley Honda North. Happy Hondas happen here. Finley True North Honda in the Northwest at Centennial Hills. And it's game two. Game one was a tough game, hard-hitting game, very close. The first 1-0 game that the Vegas Golden Knights have won all year. Is it going to be that same type of game tonight, or does it open up a little bit more? Do we see a little bit more scoring? Because we still have two tremendous goalies.
I would venture to guess that we'll probably see more scoring, because I think we're going to see more conversions of the chances we saw in game one. Gerard Gallant said this was probably a 4-3 game, 5-4 game, if not for the goalies. And I completely agree. I mean, William Karlsson had two, maybe three point blank wide open nets that he missed, and he converts on those. Obviously those are three more goals or whatever it is, but I think that as good as the goaltending was in game one, I don't think it's going to hold up that way for game two, because I think these teams are just too good at moving the puck around, finding the right plays, finding the right seams, and getting the puck to the net in dangerous scoring areas.
And we saw a couple of wide open chances missed LA's way, and then you saw the toe drag by Shea Theodore, a brilliant glove save by Jonathan Quick on him. He could have had two. Tomas Tatar with two opportunities as well. So the scoring chances were there. If it was one of those games where it was sort of a dump and chase and not a lot of action happening, then I might tend to agree it could be lower scoring, but there were plenty of chances, and they were all just robbed.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. There were some post hits and things like that, but that happens in a regular hockey game as well. I'm also curious to see about the physicality. If it's exactly like it was in game one, Will the numbers be the same? Because there's a lot of talk out there that they were a little bit inflated, that it was physical, but maybe not 68 to 59 in the hit department.
Yeah, but I mean, we've seen that in pretty much every single game won throughout the start of these playoffs. I mean, the hit totals have been inflated for pretty much everything. And I don't know if that's like a thing that the NHL does to kind of to say, hey, Gates, look, we told you for months that the playoffs is more intense. And look at these hit totals. That says that they're more intense. I think there was definitely a concerted effort by the Vegas Golden Knights to come out and be a little bit more physical, but not at the expense of playing their game. And I think that was the key takeaway for me from game one is the willingness for Vegas to check, but the unwillingness for them to go out of their way to find something that wasn't there. They balanced physicality and team speed playing their game in transition so well in game one that I'm excited to see what they bring to the table in game two. Because if they can play with that same intensity and if they can keep getting those hits and making LA's defense think about what they have to do before they have to do it, I think we're going to see a lot of the same in game two.
The thing that is concerning, though, out of all of those hits, I bring myself back to two of them, and that was when Marc-Andre Fleury was on the receiving end of two hits. Cannot happen like that from this point going forward.
No, I mean, you got to protect the front of the net. But if you look at Flower and you look at his demeanor after he kind of had a little bit of contact, he was right there in it. He was pushing and shoving. He had a little bit of stick work. I mean, he's a battler. He's going to do that stuff too. He's no stranger to these kind of front net battles. I mean, he played against the Philadelphia Flyers in many playoff series. And if we think LA Vegas is intense, Pittsburgh Philadelphia is on another level. So I think Fleury will be fine. Colin Miller was a little bit feistier than we've seen him as of late. He was really trying to protect the front of the net. You got Alex Tuck, his big body in there. If he's playing in his own zone, that's not a good thing. But if somebody tries to take a run at Flower, I expect Alex Tuck, I expect Derek Englund to police those things.
You know, it's interesting, too, when we talk about Marc-Andre Fleury, because it kind of feels to me that the fan base and the media are more concerned when it's dirty in front of his net and he gets hit or something like that, then maybe him and the team are, because he is used to that, because he has won three Stanley Cups and he's played playoff hockey before. And like you mentioned, the hit numbers went up in every game in the first round that we've seen so far here across the board. Well, we've also seen a lot more guys charging the net and goalies getting knocked over and that kind of stuff. So Marc-Andre Fleury knows that this is going to be part of the playoffs, whether it's round one, two, three, or all the way in the Stanley Cup finals there. It's part of the physicality. It's something that he's going to have to deal with it. Everybody at T-Mobile Arena holds their breath when he gets hit or goes down, but I think that they realize this is the way it's going to be, so you better be ready for it.
Yeah, and you got to, if you're an offensive player, you have to kind of find out where that line's going to be for how physical you can be in front of the net before they start taking goals away, whether it be coach's challenge, whether it be just calling a goal off on the ice because of goalie interference. You've got to find that line. You don't know what that line is until you get to that point. So if I'm an offensive player, I'm going to the net. Until I hear the whistle, I'm going to the net and I'm going hard, because that's what the playoffs are all about.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Well, you know, one of the guys that plays in front of Marc-Andre Fleury, Nate Schmidt, plays a lot of minutes, one of the keys to the success that they had in game one. And we had a chance to talk with him today after the morning skate over at City National. And I think he took my question a little bit out of context when I started it out. I basically said, look, one down and three to go. I meant one win down and three to go. I think he thought I was talking about a sweep. And, well, here's how he answered my question.
Wow, that's a hell of a prediction. I don't mind it. I like where your head's at. But as for tonight, I'm just hope we play a pretty similar game. You know, I'll let you take it from there. I feel like I don't want to get into my next answer until you give me a question. Otherwise, we're just going to be having me talking the whole time.
No. Yeah, so, all right, the next question is, a lot of people talk about the physicality of game one. 68 hits for LA, 59 for you guys. Gerard Gallant said, those numbers might be a little inflated. How physical was it out there on the ice?
I mean, you definitely saw everybody getting finished. There wasn't a guy that skated around that, you know, didn't have an opportunity to finish a guy to finish his check. And I think as the series goes on, I think it'll maybe fall down a little bit on both sides, just because it's a lot of wear and tear to do that for seven games or whatever it takes. But this is established a tempo of what the series is going to be like. And I think you look at it that way and say, you better strap yourself in and get ready for a war.
Both goalies were outstanding. I expect them to be outstanding the rest of the series. I'm sure you do as well. Can we expect those kind of low-scoring games every time, or at some point do you think it opens up a little bit and guys start converting some of those opportunities?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I don't know. I'd like to think, I don't know if we've even won a 1-0 game this entire year, or been, have we been in a 1-0 game?
No, there were no games with only 1-0.
Well, there you go. If you were, I mean, this is Vegas. If you were a betting man, I wouldn't bet on that to happen again. It's pretty bad odds. But, I think it's just the way the series is going to be. I think it should be tight. I don't think you're going to see any, 7-0 games or anything that we've seen in the other conference, a couple of those games like that, where games haven't blown open. I don't think you're going to see that.
LA has the best penalty kill in the league. You guys were 0-for-3 the first night, but in reality, you had a lot of opportunities there. What do you need to tweak or change just a little bit to get a power play goal and really maybe get things going your way? Because the power play did look good in game one.
Yeah, I thought it did too. I thought it was something that we had struggled with against them this year. I thought we moved the puck pretty quick and looked for our opportunities and not try to be too fancy. Got our pucks through when we could, and that's the biggest thing about this team. If you get pucks through, they like to block a lot of shots. And you know, as soon as you get more net front traffic, I think that's just going to be, it's going to take a off the ass or off the butt or off a shin pad or something like that in order to get in. I mean, that's just a one grimy one and start the catalyst, hopefully, to a couple more down the rest of the series.
Over the course of a 7-game series, sometimes it's decided by the adjustments that are made by the coaching staff and that. Game one was physical, low scoring, close game like we expected. Do you see many adjustments made for game two here, or is that something that you guys just want to go out and play like you played in game one, and if there's changes to make, you'll make it down the road a little bit deeper into the series?
You know, I think it's really pretty subjective to see how the game is going. I think the first period you're going to see pretty much the same, and then both teams are going to make their adjustments from there because, you know, every team's going to look at the game tape and see what works, see what didn't, and they're going to make their in-game. I think there'll be a little bit more in-game adjustments just because I think that the style of the game is going to change over each and every match that we have maybe going forward.
After 41 games at T-Mobile in the regular season, everybody said it was like a playoff atmosphere. Were even you a little bit surprised that it got even louder and more so in game one?
Perfect. It's just the way we wanted it to be. That was awesome. You know, I said the other day, we play 82 games to communicate with each other in the regular season, then we come playoffs and hope it's louder than, as loud as it can be, because we feed off that energy.
Yeah, Nate Schmidt there talking about that game one. And like I said, at first I was going to correct myself in that thing and say, well, I meant one winning, but the look in his eyes popped out like a cartoon character or something. And he's like, wow, I like the way you're thinking. And I was not predicting a sweep, but I basically said one win down, 3 to go. But hey, you know what? If they do a sweep, great for us.
That's one of the great things about Nate Schmidt. You talk about how the intensity picks up on the ice, but it's not affecting him off the ice. He's not one of those head down guys or super intense off the ice or in the locker room. He is who he is, which is fun. It's refreshing, and I always love getting the chance to talk to him.
He's just awesome, isn't he? And he had a little bit of fun with your first question, I think, and that's something that you might expect to kind of go away in the playoffs. Everything's more intense. Everything is amplified a little bit more. You expect maybe to not have as much fun, and Nate Schmidt's just not that guy. He just likes to have fun. I mean, he even snuck in a gambling reference. If you're a betting man, don't expect it to be a 1-0 game. I mean, this guy's loose. This entire team is loose. It's a really good sign going forward.
And, it's kind of hard not to play loose and be a little bit relaxed when you're playing in front of a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, the face of the team, the best player arguably on the team. And when you see him juggling the puck down there with his stick and then snatching it out of the air and that in game one, it's got to make everybody think, you know what? Maybe it is just another game.
Yeah, I don't remember if the juggle of the puck happened before the Dustin Brown missed wide open net. But if it did, I think that just the mind games that Marc-Andre Fleury is playing with Dustin Brown were the reason that Dustin Brown missed a wide open net. I mean, what other explanation could you have for that? But Marc-Andre Fleury is just one of those guys that has been here before. And there's something to that. There's something to understanding the stress of the situation, understanding the magnitude of the situation, and then just saying, it's another day. It's just another day. And that's how Marc-Andre Fleury approaches it. And it bleeds to the rest of the team. And it's a good thing.
Yeah, Nate Schmidt, great guy there. And it was a lot of fun doing that interview. And we also had a chance to talk to Tomáš Tatar. Now, it's interesting because a lot of these guys have been here for the entire ride this season. There's a couple guys that pieces that were added during the season. Tatar has to feel like he's just in a wonderland of coming from Detroit and a team that wasn't going to the playoffs, and we kind of knew it before the season. Well, everybody also thought they knew it before the season. Vegas wasn't going to, but now he's on the team. He's a part of the team. He's in the lineup all the time. Still waiting for him to really unleash and play the type of game that he's capable of, but he is playing a good, solid two-way game. And got a chance to sit down with him as well and ask him, okay, game one in the books, what was it like winning that first game here in the playoffs, and what goes on the rest of the series?
Absolutely. You know, it's just the first step. You know, obviously it's an advantage us, but, you know, it doesn't mean really anything. You know, we have to win three more, and that's our focus.
Drew Doughty not playing tonight. He's been suspended for one game. Does that affect or change anything that you guys do, or do you guys just go out and play your game and let them worry about what they do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it will affect our game. You know, they have to deal with it, not us. We just have to play same game, you know, five guys together in each zone, help each other, have a good forecheck, and exit the zone fast. So, you know, it's our approach to the game, and we have to be ready.
You've seen this team for quite a while now. You've seen the fan base at T-Mobile. Were even you a little bit surprised at how loud and the environment that there was for game one of the playoffs?
The atmosphere here is amazing. You know, I could talk about it all day. Fans are great. That's for sure. You know, get everybody excited when you step out of the locker room in front of that crowd. So it's a great feeling for sure. You know, and we have great fans.
A lot of people have talked about the physicality of game one. 68 hits for LA, 59 for Vegas. Gerard Gallant said that those might be a little bit inflated. What did you think about the physical play on the ice?
You know, I feel like it's just the play of hockey. You know, everybody wants to finish checks. Everybody wants to get a little more tighter to open. And so it's just the way the game is in the playoff. And, you know, I don't think we have a problem with it. We have a strong guys, not maybe the biggest, but they, you know, I think we can deal with it.
Marc-Andre Fleury was incredible. We expect him to be incredible. But Jonathan Quick was also very good on the other end. Do you see the same type of close-knit, low-scoring game tonight, or do you think it might open up a little bit more?
We'll see. You know, I think both teams have a few good chances. You know, like Jesus said, the goalies were incredible. You know, Mark played really, really on the top of his game. That's great. You know, good to see. You know, he's just a good goalie. It's amazing. We're really happy to have him.
Although it was a 1-0 game, there were opportunities for both teams to score. How important is it that you guys start converting on some of those chances to put the puck in the net when you have them?
Yeah, you know, we were fortunate enough we didn't need them last game. You know, maybe next game you will need them. So, you know, for a goal for everybody feels good for sure. You know, it gives the team certain lift. So, you know, you want to put it in the net.
LA down 1-0 in the series, but in reality they were hoping to come here and split the series. How much you guys have to stay focused and win tonight and get ready for LA? And then if you go in there 2-0, get a win there, and all of a sudden you guys are really in the driver's seat.
Yeah, you know, this is just too much predictions. You know, you just have to go game from game. You never know how the series will develop. But, you know, right now we're up 1-0 and we're going to the game two.
Over the course of a 7-game series, sometimes the key to the winning the series is adjustments made. Are there any adjustments that you're aware of that you guys are making tonight, or is it just little tweaks here and there maybe?
You know what, I don't know. I think we played really good. I wouldn't change anything, you know. So it's their move to do something now, you know. So maybe we'll have to adjust during the game.
All right, well, keep doing what you're doing. Good luck tonight, and good luck in Los Angeles.
Thank you so much.
Tomas Tatar there with us. And man, I really hope that he gets a goal or two, because I like that guy so much. I'm looking forward to what he can do next season. But he's an excellent hockey player. Still seems like he's not 100% comfortable, but he's had opportunities. And it just feels like if he can get one going where he wants to and maybe loosen up just a little bit, he could be a big factor if they go deep in the playoffs.
He had some looks. I mean, he had a lot of looks in game one. You get the idea that maybe, because he scored a few goals, but maybe if he gets one of those goals that makes him feel like himself again, one of those dangles or end-to-end plays or just something where he protects and does something spectacular, maybe that'll get him going. But with Tatar, he's been fine. He just needs to convert, that's all. And I think he's going to get chances and will do that.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Still lots to get to here on a game day, game two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. By the way, if you want to check out some very cool videos, the Alex Tuck story that Helen Yee did a really good, nice piece on, Chris and Ryan talk about game one, doing a preview there, and Clayton and I had a chance to talk to Jackie Redman earlier today as well. All of that is up there on lvsportsnetwork.com. It is jam-packed with all sorts of articles and stories and videos about the Vegas Golden Knights. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Drew Doughty and get what he thinks about the hit that he had. And also, guys, it's an anniversary today in Golden Knights lore, and their what's going on here with the team and everything. We'll tell you whose anniversary and what it is next, along with more looks at the game and maybe even a look at some of the other action going on because there's other teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
There were many different opportunities and we followed up with different people, but I tell you what we were looking for is the same thing that we were looking for in players, that I was looking for in George, and that's a man of character, a person of his word, a person who will never give up and never give in. And in that we have that person in Gerard Gallant.
He filled all of our criteria in relation to being low ego, hardworking, person with an outstanding reputation and a first-class guy. And we are delighted that Gerard picked us, the Vegas Golden Knights, and that we were able to pick him. I'm delighted to welcome Gerard to the Vegas Golden Knights and turn it over to him.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, and there you heard it on the way back. Bill Foley and George McPhee talking about Gerard Gallant, and happy anniversary, Turk. 1 year ago today that Gerard Gallant was introduced to the Vegas media, April the 13th, and who knew then what was about to happen? What an incredible ride it's been. And Gerard Gallant, Bill Foley, and George McPhee get all the credit in the world, but none of this has what's happening right now without Gerard Gallant, Turk, basically steering the ship and getting through this season and getting this team into the playoffs.
And it makes you think about how rarely you realize the most significant moments in your life as they are happening. And you think about Gerard Gallant back in the parking lot, having his stuff taken off the bus, being fired outside of the arena, and thinking about how that's probably his worst day. And that moment is what led to his best days that he's experienced here.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when that happened, and Frank and I had a very lengthy discussion about Gerard Gallant and how he was let go from Florida. And I think we both said better things were on the horizon. And clearly he was listening to that podcast because he came here and he chose Vegas. And I think we don't get the credit that we deserve, you and I, Frank, that for bringing Gerard Gallant here, but it's worked out really well.
Well, I would really like to convince myself that we did have something to do with that.
But if
we do, hey, good for him. But no, I mean, what a great guy. What a great coach. And you talk about people being loose and that kind of stuff. And we talk about Marc-Andre Fleury. Gerard Gallant's another one. He's loose and he's always laughing and smiling and that with the media and stuff. And that goes to the team as well. You know, there's an adage in sports a lot that a lot of times a team will simulate what their manager or coach or whatever, whoever the head guy is, how they perceive everything out there. And certainly Gerard Gallant has that casual, laid-back atmosphere sometimes. But when it's time to go to work, then he can also be the taskmaster and get things done and do what needs to be done there. So he's a player's coach, but he also expects the guys to give 100%. And I think that's one of the reasons why guys do that game in and game out and day in and day out is because of the respect that they have for Gerard Gallant.
And he knows the difference between being boss and being bossy. And sometimes you see those coaches that are gruff and sort of yelling all the time, and you never know when to take it seriously. You know, if Gerard Gallant is upset, then it's time to take it seriously.
One of the things that he said a couple of days ago was, I don't get upset or frustrated if a guy tries something and it doesn't work. We want them to try, play with some creativity. It was in reference to a Shang Peng question. And he said, if it works, great. If it doesn't, back check. Right? So, like, he gives you the freedom to take chances and make mistakes, but he also lets you make up for that. And there's so many coaches that if you make a mistake, you ride the pine for the rest of the game. You don't even get out there. Joel Quenneville is one of those coaches that comes to mind.
Absolutely.
You make a mistake, he doesn't play you. And you never get to build that confidence or make up for that. Gerard Gallant's the opposite. You make a mistake, okay, back check. Did you make up for it? No? Okay, well, go out there and score a goal. Go out there and affect the game in a positive way. And that breeds confidence, and you've seen it throughout the entire lineup with the Vegas Golden Knights this year.
He's also the kind of coach that if he does have something to say to somebody, he's not going to say it through the media. Ken Hitchcock, who just retired after 22 years of coaching, and he'll still be part of the Dallas Stars consulting team and that kind of stuff. But we've heard him several times this year call his players out saying, our Stars aren't playing hard enough. They're only waiting for a power play to try to do stuff. And you mentioned Joel Quenneville, John Tortorella. There's a lot of coaches, and some of them, if that's who you are, then that's how you do things and that's what you do. But the closest we've heard Gerard Gallant say calling anybody out is when he says, yeah, well, you know, the whole team didn't play hard enough or whatever. Or, well, you know, there might be a goal that they would like back or something. But he never calls them out and says it's their fault. He's like, basically, win as a team, lose as a team. There's a lot of cliche talk in what Gerard Gallant says, but it's really how he feels in that. And I think that also makes the players feel more comfortable, because you could say so-and-so turned over the puck and that cost us a game. Or this guy didn't play hard enough and that's why the puck was turned over and it led to the goal the other way. He'll say we all the time. He never says you. And I think players respect that.
Yeah, I agree. There have been maybe a handful of subtle things that he said to the media where you sit and you think about it and you're like, okay, that was kind of opening up for the players, like, hey, you guys need to be better. But outside of that, he's not a guy that's going to single anybody out, and I like that.
And we have seen guys that we know are getting a talking to, but it's all done individually at the blue line with his arm around them, and we know what's going on. I don't think most of the folks that are at practice, it's kind of on their radar, but we know that it's happening, and the guy's skating away from it, and it's over with, and that's what I like about Gerard Gallant.
Yeah, and you don't see him coming back or something like that, hanging their head the next day or looking over their back for everything they do on the ice, because they also know it's over. Because he handles it and he treats you with respect and he treats you like a man, and that's how players want to be treated. And they don't read it on social media or in the newspaper or something because, what, so-and-so said this about me or whatever? In this day and age, we see that happen so many times. And again, some guys just do that. Phil Jackson, one of the best coaches in the NBA, called out players in the media from time to time or in a book that he read or wrote or something. And people say, well, he's just trying to sell a book. It worked for him. He won championships. I'd love to see Gerard Gallant win a championship and show you that nice guys don't always finish last. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show here. One guy who was not a nice guy in game one.
No. Or all season. Or ever, really.
Drew Doughty. Friend of Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. They got a nice relationship going when a couple games here at T-Mobile.
No, Drew's okay. He's fine. There was one time that I tried to get him for an interview, and he walked away from me. He's like, oh, no, I got to go find my girlfriend, but I'll be right back. I'm like, no, you're not going to be right back. He came back.
Well, there you go. Interview.
He's a good guy.
So,
nice guy, tries hard.
He's emotional.
That too.
Yeah.
Incredibly emotional.
A lot of people are. Well, in game one, he was emotional because Will Carrier was throwing him all around the ice like he was pretty much everybody on the LA King team. Apparently, at some point, he got upset about that and took exception to it, threw a little hit on Mr. Carrier that looked like a headshot to, I think, all of us. The NHL looked at the film and said, yeah, that's a dirty hit. You're going to be suspended for a game. Well, Drew Doughty talked about that suspension and basically saying that, you know what? I thought it was just a clean hockey hit.
It's just part of the game. I expect that. I've been in tons of playoff series where the other teams are doing that to me. That's just their game plan before the game. And like I said, no, not at all. I did not intend to injure him. Did I intend to separate him from the puck and hit him? Yeah, for sure. But that's my job. I'm a defenseman. That's what you got to do. And I feel terrible that I hit him in the head. And if he is having any problems, I feel awful about that. But I would do it all over again. I would make that hit and try to separate him from the puck.
Now, first off, you can question, all right, is he sincere and says he didn't mean to hit him in the head? I kind of believe that he didn't want to injure him, because I don't think that guys basically, there might be a couple exceptions around the league, but I don't think that guys generally do want to injure somebody else, because then somebody on the other team can come and try to do it to them or one of their teammates as well. But I think, to me, when I heard that quote and I listened to it a few times, the thing when he said, I would do it again, made me kind of go, then maybe you don't really understand what you did.
See, I don't think he's saying I would hit him in the head again. Like, if you watch the Department of Player Safety, if you watch the explanation video, they were talking about how difficult it is to execute that hit that Doughty was trying to execute, where he's coming from the side, attempting to hit the shoulder, Carrier cuts in and leaves himself, I don't want to say in a vulnerable position, but it definitely changes a little bit of the angle. That all being said, I don't think Doughty's saying, yeah, I would go in there and hit him in the head again. What I think he's saying is, yes, I would go in there, I would try to get shoulder and separate him from the puck. I don't think he's saying, I'm going to go in there and hit him in the head again. I don't think that's the context of what he was saying. But that type of check is so difficult to execute at speed, especially when you're trying to react to what the opposition player is doing, that I think it leaves Doughty in this kind of uncomfortable place where if he misses the shoulder, as he did, the only other part of the body you can hit is the head. So regardless of your intention, you still hit the player in the head. It was avoidable, and that's a problem.
I think that's the key. It was avoidable, and we see this all the time in particularly college football with receivers and with defensive backs, and when there's sort of a hit of a head across the middle, and sometimes it's unavoidable, and sometimes the receiver puts themselves in that situation or ducks their head. Not necessarily the case with Will Carrier, but I'm with you. It is an avoidable play. The hit didn't need to be where it was, miss or not, and I think that's the distinction that the NHL is saying, that it was a dangerous play, intentional or not. You put yourself in a bad situation. Will Carrier didn't put you in a bad situation.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And it's, again, it was a good angle by Doughty. It's just when he decided that he was going to go in for the shoulder contact, it was at that moment where Will Carrier decided to try to cut inside. And when he did that, Doughty missed the shoulder and hit the head. Just because you missed the check doesn't mean you hit him in the head any less. Mm-hmm. You can't hit players in the head. You just can't do it. Or at least that's what NHL Department of Player Safety is telling you you can't do.
Yeah, and I think that when I watched the video, and I've watched it quite a few times, to me the thing was the fact that not only the fact that he hit him in the head, but he did kind of dip the shoulder and he kind of swung it into him. And I thought that was the difference there a little bit. And maybe if he swings it into the shoulder or her chest or something, it's not like he left his feet and it was really egregious and he was trying to injure. I don't think he was trying to injure him. But it was a play, and I think they made the right call. But then it does lead you to, well, okay, why is that a penalty? And then Washington last night, Tom Wilson, he was assessed a penalty, didn't get a suspension for it. Josh Anderson also didn't get a suspension for Columbus. And the one that I thought was the worst thing that I remember last night, and maybe you guys saw something even worse, Kadri's hit on Wingles in the Toronto game, Kadri for Toronto, the hit that he did to Wingles, and then coming out and saying it was just a clean hit. The guy fell. And he claims that he didn't see him fall. Now, again, if people haven't seen these things, they don't know exactly what we're talking about. You can check each one of them out on YouTube and different places out there. To me, Kadri's was by far the worst. Wilson and Anderson didn't get suspended. I will be semi-shocked if Kadri doesn't get at least a game for what he did.
Yeah, so I'm going to comment on the Kadri one because it's an interesting dynamic when you have two of the super pests in the league, in Brad Marchand and Nazem Kadri, playing in the same series against each other. And the play before all of this happened, it was a bad hit. It was a hard hit by Nazem Kadri. He goes to the penalty box. Boston scores, comes out of the penalty box, irritated, frustrated, sees an opponent that is prone, laying on the ice, goes in, throws the hip toward the head of the opponent that's down. Tommy Wingles gets a 5 in a game. It should be more. It just should. Like, if Brad Marchand does that, it's an automatic, like, we're not even worried about it. And Nazem Kadri and Brad Marchand are pretty much cut from the same cloth. So I expect Kadri to be suspended. The question is how many games? Because, like, I could see two. I mean, I could see a 2-game suspension.
Which
I might
in a playoff
even
series
more.
Is huge.
Well, it's four regular season games. You know, you're looking at one playoff game equals 2 regular season games. I could see a 4 or 5-game suspension for that in the regular season for sure.
You know, it's just funny to when you sort of look at the reaction of fans around the league. And we're going to go out to Twitter. At Noah Warren says, if the best defenseman in the NHL, Drew Doughty, gets a game, Kadri should get a minimum of 3, repeat offender gutless. But on the opposite side, DJ Carter Lee says he got a 5, a 10 in a game. That's enough. Wasn't even close to what Drew Doughty did. He shouldn't have to pay for a missed call by the refs.
Wow, when I disagree with that, I think it was way more vicious malicious than Drew Doughty's hit.
Because he certainly left the feet. He went at the head. But it goes back to those great questions of the NHL taking the time to sort of break it down, because when you look at Josh Anderson, like Josh Anderson got a game miss, he got a 5-minute,
yeah,
they're not even going to have a hearing.
Well, because I don't necessarily believe that Josh Anderson's hit was a 5-minute penalty,
right? Exactly,
and like you get those split second judgment calls, mm-hmm. and it's great, but Yeah, it's so hard to make any type of determination on these things. Kadri should be suspended because Drew Doughty was suspended. Kadri's hit is worse than Doughty's. Just period. It just is. There's no place for that in the game. It was an attempt to injure. Like, you can't see an opponent down on the ice. Kadri skated in while Wingles is on the ice, on the ground.
You know, there's a little theory that I've come up with on my own a while back. If I see something in a major sport that's illegal in the octagon, to me, that's got to be a suspension or a fine. And what Kadri did would be basically a blow to the head of a downed opponent. That would be illegal in the UFC or the octagon. I don't know how Kadri doesn't get a suspension. How long will it be? I don't know that either. But the other thing that I always wonder about that, too, we always talk about the guy who does the hit. Well, what about the guy who took the hit? Wenberger's questionable for game two. I'm sure Wingles is very questionable. I mean, who knows? He's got to be going through concussion protocol or something else out there. Even if you do suspend a guy, if you take somebody else out and they're out for a long time, like Oscar Lindberg, when he took the hit from Clifford, he missed about a month.
Yeah, I mean, it's so difficult to say you're going to be suspended for the same amount of time that the guy you hit is injured for, because what if you've got Will Carrier? I mean, you hit Will Carrier in the head, you think it's a one-game suspension, but you're like, Doughty will be out as long as Carrier's out. Carrier's not out.
Yeah, and that's not what I was saying. I was but it is on the other side. It's like the other team suffers the loss, too. The team that does the hit always makes it sound like, well, we're getting affected by it. Well, you also affected the other team if they're out for any length of time.
Yeah, there's also, though, you know, what's the determination of when somebody is back? If you have a player that's more easily replaceable on your squad and just be like, yeah, well, he's done, we're going to shut him down.
Well, yeah.
You know, Drew Doughty, hasta la vista, we'll see you in September.
Will, sorry.
You're not going to play. But, yeah, it's just there's a lot of visceral reactions on one side or another, not even getting into the whole, Johansson Barry situation in Nashville and Colorado. So it's all over.
Yeah, and certainly in the playoffs it makes it different because you're playing the same team back-to-back-to-back. In the regular season, if you did try to implement that, at least they're not going to be playing you every game, so you wouldn't necessarily – it might actually hurt you if the guy was in, because they might be playing a team that you need them to beat down the road. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, getting ready for the game tonight. Remember, tonight we'll be over at Hyde Lounge once again doing the pregame and intermission reports, and then Sunday, if you'd like to join us, you can join us over at Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo, and looking forward to that as well. That supported by our friends from Findlay Chevrolet and Findlay North Volkswagen. When we come up, we're going to wrap it up. You guys have pet fish when you're growing up at all? Anybody have a fish tank or anything?
Nope.
It wasn't
nope.
Big with me, but I know some people that do. Well, we're going to ask, what would you name your fish? Because there is an arena right now that has a fish tank. We'll tell you where. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back. Final go-around. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show getting ready for the game tonight. Real quick, in Nashville, they have installed a tank for their catfish. They're going to put four catfish in the tank because four wins you a series. Four series wins you the Stanley Cup. The Predators named the first catfish Gil. They will put the second one in tonight. It will be named Ken in honor of a longtime fan that passed away in 2017. The last two catfish named by the fan base. Ryan, what would you name the catfish?
If one fish isn't named Dennis K and the other one Morgan, Nashville, you're doing it wrong.
Clayton? Yeah, I hate to agree with Ryan on that, but I kind of do.
Now, I don't know if the catfish can sing or not, but we'll find out. But I know somebody that can sing, and that's Carrie Underwood. I name one of them Carrie.
No, Dennis K. Morgan. Come on.
And that's why there's different votes for it. Or if you're somebody who doesn't like Nashville, you could name it Zero for the amount of Stanley Cups they've won.
Smashville, Dennis K. and Morgan. Just get with the program, guys.
All right. Well, maybe T.C. Martin will tell you what he thinks it should be. He's up next, and he is on location. We'll talk to you Monday, hopefully after a couple of Vegas Golden Knights wins. Vegas Golden Knights Insider. See you. Bye.